Well, Lou, you were on with the guys earlier today, so we got some good news from Flames training from practice today. Tell us the latest on Mike Smith.
Well, the word from Glenn Gullitson today is that the team had an MRI done on whether it's a knee, which is now my guess, because Glenn says it's not a groin, potentially maybe a hip. I know in Mike's case he's had some issues with some hip problems in the past, but the MRI was negative, and he will miss tonight and miss Thursday night in Nashville. But after that, the word is day-to-day. Not even sure at this point, depending on how he feels and how he comes back after a few days away from taking shots, whether Saturday night against Florida is even out of the question. So when we speculated, and I think there was good reason to speculate, that it could potentially be long-term, although my gut was in the two-week department, as you know, when we talked about it yesterday, looks like it may be really, really good news, which I think even though they're in a game day and it's a game-by-game process for sure, and that's how this team goes about its business, there's absolutely no question that's brightened their spirits for sure, where it looks at least at this point like their number one guy between the pipes isn't going to be lost for a long time.
We were thinking about that with Mike Smith last year when he played with Arizona. He had the he had the hip problem. That was big.
Mm-hmm.
And hips and goalies, everyone can talk about knees, but hips just seem to be a goalie's Achilles, as it were, to use two metaphors jammed together. But he is 35. He is in wicked shape, which is good news.
He is.
But I think, you know, all the conversations we had yesterday about, well, holding the fort and that kind of thing. Well, to me, it's like it's great that he's coming back, but obviously there is an injury situation here, and there's no guarantees it won't get tweaked again. I think is still important for David Rittich to make sure that he is ready to go and assume that at any given time, he could have to make a run of 3, 4, 5 games in a row for the Calgary Flames.
It is important, and I think going forward longer term, and no one's focused on longer term, but I think this is a bit of a blessing in disguise in some ways for the team. It may give Mike a little mental rest, if nothing else, because, you know, we'd love to be in there again tonight, or certainly he was scheduled, his next scheduled start was going to be Thursday before what happened. David Rittich, looking forward to the opportunity, in great spirits this morning. Give him credit, because I think with every passing day, his English is getting a little better. Had an opportunity to ask a fellow countryman in Michael Frolik about David Rittich, because I know that coming in to the hotel the other day, not surprising to see Marek Rivik, Michael Frolik, and David Rittich all together, and you can understand why. They all speak the same language, and good of the Czech guys to allow the guy from Slovakia into their little party. And Michael said he has been beyond impressed with what he's seen from his fellow countrymen in Cole, and then made a remark about, yeah, he's a funny guy and everybody likes him, but he's a goalie. So I found that,
how that works.
Interesting. Yeah, that works. So I wasn't even really expecting that from Michael, but that was the word. And there's absolutely, as we talked about a number of times on this very program, 7 road starts, Kelly, which is the only place he's started. 1.95 is the goals against average. 9.38 is the save percentage. It doesn't really get much better.
No, well,
you could not have asked for better performances out of David Rittich. Those are exceptional numbers.
I just like the story because he sort of came out of nowhere. We heard about mm-hmm. him at training camp last season, and then he goes down to Stockton, and by the end of the playoff run against San Jose, it was David Riddick's net and not John Gillies. So he was kind of this unsung hero because everybody was talking about John Gillies and Tyler Parsons and this and that. And it's like, well, over here. And that's the beauty about hockey and goaltenders. Just stop the puck. Theo was in yesterday and we were doing something. And he said it in a way, I can't say it on the air, but he just said, just stop the puck. I don't care who's in the net, right?
Yeah, I could probably phrase it myself coming from Theo, who I love. yeah, it's probably not fit for this program.
Exactly. So that's the goaltending situation. What do we know about the lineup for tonight, or what can you? I hear that my favorite new player is back in the lineup.
Yeah, Ryan Lomberg is ready to go in fabulous spirits. He looked fine yesterday. He was one of seven or eight players who went forth with the practice. It was an optional yesterday. Everybody was back on the ice today and only played 2 minutes and 10 seconds and has a nice welt on his cheek. But outside of that, he says he feels great. It was precautionary the other night more than anything when he took the wallop courtesy of gigantic Ross Johnston, and it gave his team a big lift. So I like the way he skates, Kelly. That's the important thing for me, is that, you know, you can talk about being in people's face, and I don't think there's any question that, you know, the way he stood up to somebody that was that size in part helped turn that game around and got everybody at the bench going, because we don't see it a lot anymore, but it's important, and it will change the tide, especially when you're that courageous as he was. But not only do I like his vim and vigor and his bulldog way of his business, he's a really good skater. And I just think, you know, anytime you can add a little grit and some quality speed to a lineup in the bottom of your lineup where, you know, in a couple of cases, they're not necessarily fleet of foot, I like that match. So hope it goes better for him tonight in terms of ice time. Don't want to see him play 2-10 again, and we'll continue to watch him in game number 5 of his NHL career.
Well, we were talking about the Boston Bruins on the morning show. You were part of that earlier today as the guys are in Boston. And when you talk about the Bruins, let's see, their power play is really good. They can kill penalties. They play really well at home. They don't lose very much. They're getting all this rookie input from these young bucks that are coming in. Like, just when you thought that it was going to be some sort of transition for the Bruins, somebody had a plan, and they've drafted these guys, and they've developed these guys. This is a huge test for the Flames tonight.
Kelly, it wasn't very long ago that people were questioning whether Don Sweeney knew what he was doing shortly after he took over as the GM of this team. And remember in the one draft that produced the likes of Jake DeBrusk, who's having a wonderful first full season in the league. They had 3 picks in that draft, all in a row, 13, 14, and 15 overall, in a draft where my intel tells me they were trying to move up with all the picks that they had to try and potentially land Noah Hanifin. That didn't work out. Here's one name that I brought up this morning I'll bring up again. How many people do you think that even cover the NHL on a pretty regular basis know that 22-year-old Danton Heinen from Langley, British Columbia, has 38 points? 38.
Never heard of him, right?
That's a big right. You probably never heard of him. You know, Jake DeBrusk has had a really, really fine rookie season and has supplied 29 points. This team from top to bottom is not easy to play against. They have a first line in Bergeron, Pasternak, and, of course, Brad Marchand that's as good as any. Pasternak is a guy in his draft class who scored 20-plus more goals than anybody from the class of 2014, and he went 25th overall. I think he's one of the most dynamic young players in the game, and he has 51 points and 21 goals so far this season. So I could tell today when I chatted with Glenn Gullitson, who just basically said, some nights we have a couple of keys in terms of dealing with our opponent. With this group, you better be dialed in all areas. Bruins, 4th in the league in goals scored, 1st in the league in goals against per game given up, 21-1-5 when they score first, 26-0-2 when they lead after the second. Their team save percentage is .918, which is 4th in the league. They win a ton of faceoffs. They're beyond deep down the middle. This is a good team. They're better than I thought they were going to be. I will be the first to admit that. But in the likes of Chara, Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand, they have some quality veteran people who know how to do what. They know how to win.
Talking to Peter Labardius here on Hockey Central Noon. He's Kelly Kirsch. I'm Matt Rose. Kelly, or Peter, yesterday, a couple things I didn't get to ask you about because we were talking a lot about Mike Smith and a lot about David Riddick, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You see Matthew Tkachuk with that game-winning goal. He gets the tip about 4 feet wide of the net. It's something he works on all the time. It's something he gets better at every day. Is there anything that really stood out about that one? Is that maybe the biggest kind of distance you've seen him tip a puck before when you get to watch him in practice all the time?
It probably is, as far as in-game. And it's just, listen, it's practice makes perfect. And I asked him about it yesterday at the practice facility. And, you know, he tried to undersell it a little bit and said it's always been a big part of his routine. And it really works in favor of his work on the power play, in particular, being the down low guy that works the front of the net and at the side of the net on the strong side, depending on where the puck is when you have it. But it's an art form, and he's fabulous at it, and it comes with incredible work. I've yet to see him leave an ice surface since he's been in Calgary, whether it's morning skate, game days, non-game days. He is always working on tipping pucks. And you know who in my career I watched do that all the time as well, who wasn't bad at it? Ryan Smith.
Yep.
Ryan Smith put in countless hour after hour after hour in practice and in morning skates doing just that. And we know, you know, the type of career Ryan had and how that paid off. And Matthew just keeps getting better. I've said this a couple of times, Matty, but it's at the point for me now when this team is down by a goal in a game, I just always kind of sense that he's going to have his hands all over it in some way, shape, or form. 20 years old, his first 20-goal season, he has 39 points now, which is actually one more than he had in all of his quality rookie season. Part of that, you know, dynamite two-way line with Backlund and Frolik, there would be just about no one on this team that I would part with ahead of him.
His play on the ice speaks for itself, but one thing for me that stood out is he's already a leader for this team at the age of 20. You talked about him staying out on the ice, being the last one out there. The other one for me is, it seems like almost after every game he's talking to the media now, which for a lot of guys isn't the easiest thing to do, but he's doing it all the time.
No, he understands it. That's the thing. I mean, experience teaches us a lot, I think, I hope. And Matthew has a great advantage. He's been around hockey every single day of his whole life, and he loves it. He absolutely loves it. There's no doubt in my mind he could scout tomorrow. Because, you know, when I ask him sometimes about players that he's played against, this guy has a book on everyone, you know, and needless to say, when Keith is your father and, you know, he's been around it, he's been at a rink since he could walk, he has just absolutely soaked up all of it. And he's a 20-year-old that assesses the game like he's been around the NHL for 15 or 16 years, but in a lot of ways, guess what? He probably has,
yeah.
Maybe not 15 or 16, but this is a sharp, sharp, bright, intelligent kid. And I don't think he's missed very much, probably since about the age of 6 or 7. You don't find what he has all that often. And as he continues his body to mature, the skating side of his game would be the only part of his game that isn't, you know, elite, because the rest of it is hockey sense, ability to protect the puck, the way he sees the game, reads the game. His hockey IQ it's Bananaville. That's what it is.
Yeah.
One of the best I've seen from a young player in a long, long time. And I think he's a winner. And those guys are really, really hard to find. So they're lucky to have him. And he's been a big, big difference maker on this trip and throughout the season. And because, you know, his dad is from here, needless to say, and there's lots and lots of friends and family around, I don't expect anything other than his A-plus game tonight either.
Yeah, no sophomore jinx for him. I invented a
not a chance.
I invented a drinking game. I know you don't drink, Lou, but it'd be fun to play.
I'm thinking about starting though.
Here's what you do: you're watching a Flames game, and it's in the background, and every time there's a scrum that Matthew Tkachuk's involved in, because it's basically all of them, you take a drink. It won't take long before the game takes a different sort of spin for you, because it's funny, but it's true. Every time there's a melee and there's sticks and helmets and guys shoving their gloves, well, guess who's involved somewhere? Oh, there he is, you know, with his mouth guard hanging out of his mouth and the other team just like livid.
That smirk.
They're just like, you just tell that the other team just wants to kill him. And now we've got Brad Marchand, you know, like it's kind of like,
oh boy,
it's sort of like I invented that game.
If that's not a great marquee matchup, I don't know what is. And I will say this: I've known Brad for a long time, going back to when he was in Moncton with the Wildcats. Matthew Tkachuk, I guarantee you, can probably disturb and, you know, trash talk with the absolute best. But if he's going down that road tonight, you better bring the A double plus game. Because this guy can do it with the best. And I mean the best. And he, like the Flames number 19, he loves it. He thrives on it.
Yep.
So, you know what? I might not do color tonight, Kelly. I might play your little game. And the great thing for me is I'm one of the few players that can play that game, and I'll be just like right. I won't miss a beat.
You won't,
because I won't be sauced.
That's right.
I'll be just fine because I don't drink.
Oh my God.
But to watch those guys tonight, if you could just have a night where you could, when they're on the ice against one another, watch the talking.
Yeah. Well,
on those two guys.
Yeah, exactly.
One another.
Like if there's a scrum without one of those two guys in it, there's been some sort of mistake, right? You just know that.
Yeah, call the FBI.
Yeah, something went on. Lou, we got to fly. We got a jam show. We'll get you ready at 4:00. We'll hear from you from Boston, and you and Derek will have the call from Boston Flames and Bruins. Going to be a good one, and then we'll check in with you tomorrow all about the game. And I guess you'll be in Nashville tomorrow, so the road trip of cool cities continues for you.
Yeah, I don't even know where I am. All I know is I was up till about 5 watching the Olympics, so I might have a little nap.
To the surprise of no one. Thanks, Lou.
Bye.